Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are here. We are live right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on, man, on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for each and every individual that is live with us on the air today, listening, wherever you're listening to me at, amen, wherever you listen to the show at, not me, but the show, amen. I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name, amen. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, because my voice doesn't carry much weight without the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But you are blessed. If you are hearing me right now, you are in the land of the living. You're listening to me right now. You're in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And there's a reason to give God praise. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Hallelujah. I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. I want to first apologize for not being here last week. We had some technical difficulties, but we're back again. We're here live. Amen. Amen. And I'm so happy to be on here in Jesus' name. I'm happy to be with you all in Jesus' name. On today, I want to first, before I begin anything, and I know that the Lord will back me up on this, and I know Bishop Cook will back me up on this, I want to say, before I get into any trouble, I want to say a very happy Mother's Day to each and every mother listening. Amen. And I want to send out a very, very special Mother's Day or happy Mother's Day to my very own, both of my mothers, my birth mother and my stepmother, which is my mother, in Jesus' name. I want to send out a very special happy Mother's Day to my very own wife, amen, my mother, my stepmother, well, my mom, amen, my mom, First Lady, Cosette Trotman Tuggle, amen, my mom, who has been a blessing in my life, in Jesus' name, happy Mother's Day. I know it's not Mother's Day, y'all, but I want to send out a very special live Mother's Day shout out, and to my very own birth mother, amen, you know who you are, in Jesus' name, God bless you, I love you, in Jesus' name, I thank God for you helping me bring me into this world, in Jesus' name, and to my very own wife, to the mother of my three children, mother of my three handsome sons, Kiswana, Tuggle, I love you, in Jesus' name. I thank God for you. I thank God for you being the mother of my three handsome sons. Amen. Thank God for you. You are the backbone of this household in Jesus' name. Amen. I might be the head, but you the neck. Amen. Amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for her being by my side in Jesus' name, not being behind me, but being by my side in Jesus' name. Amen. And on today, that brings us to today's topic. And no, it's not about mothers. You might say, well, how does the topic bring you to mothers, but it's not about mothers? Well, it's something that all people, not just women, or not just mothers, go through. But it is a topic that everybody deals with. The title of this topic today
And I want to say before I start, Happy Mother's Day to Bishop Cook, too, as well. I know she is a mother in the gospel. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we give you honor. And we give you honor for being the founder of this radio network in Jesus' name. We thank God for you as well. I apologize for that in Jesus' name. But today's topic on today is we are counted worthy. Amen. We are counted worthy. Amen. And the subtopic, if I could subtitle this topic today, it would be, do you know your worth? A lot of people, not just women, not just men, not just young boys, not just young girls, but everybody on the face of the earth, somewhere, somehow, everybody does not know their worth. Amen. And today we're going to talk about it. Today we're going to look at where does worth come from? How do we obtain our worth? Where did our worth begin? Is God okay with us having our worth? What is it, something that is man-made or something that is like pride? God doesn't want us to be prideful. Does God want us to have our self-worth? Where do we get our worth from? Where should we get our worth from? So we're going to talk about that today. And after this topic is over with, I want you to understand where God wants us to be with this topic today. Amen. This is a very, very important, and I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but this is for anybody that is going through, because we have a lot of fathers too that are raising children on their own. Believe it or not, we have fathers that are playing the mother and father role. Just like we have a lot of mothers that play the mother and father role. Amen. But we have some fathers that do that too as well. So happy Mother's Day to all the single fathers that are playing the mother role. Maybe that mother has transitioned into eternal life. Amen. And you have to take care of the children, or maybe that mother is no longer present in the home. I don't know. And you know what? It's none of my business. But this is for you. Amen. This is for everybody. This is a bit of encouragement for everybody. Amen. So we're going to jump into this. And today, I want to take this backwards. You might say, well, we're going to go backwards. Why are we going backwards to move? We're going backwards to move forward. Amen. Let's go to 2nd. I keep wanting to say 2nd Corinthians, but I'm not going to use 2nd Corinthians. 2nd Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles chapter number 7, verses 14 through 20. We're going to start right there. This is the key verse, one of the key verses that I, in my studying, the Lord has taken me to in my studying. Amen. This is, yes. Amen. 2nd Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through 20. Amen. And it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears shall attend unto their prayer that is made in this place. Verse number 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. and mine eyes and mine ear and my heart shall be there. Amen. Verse 17. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt approve my statutes and judgment, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not thought thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Verse 19. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then, verse number 20, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb, a byword among all nations. Now, these verses, I want you to stick with verse number 20. Amen. Verse number 19 and 20, but especially verse number 20. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 53. This is our second key verse. Isaiah chapter number 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Amen. And let's read that. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Now, you might ask, well, why are you reading these scriptures, Brother Adam? Why are you reading? Well, I want you to understand something. I want you to get this. These two verses right here are these two scriptures. The first one the first one we read in verse number 20. I want you to look at verse 20. Amen. I want you to go back and look at verse number 20. Verse number 20, it shows when will I pluck them up from by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight. Now, I want you to, I'm going to finish it, but I want you to see this. In the beginning of time, God counted us worthy. You might say, well, how did God count us worthy? If we look in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, verse number 8, and in verse number 15 through 17, we will see that God counted man worthy. Amen. He gave us self-worth at the beginning of time. He counted us worthy. When he counted us worthy, he gave us self-worth. Amen. He gave us self-worth. And all in the same time, in the book of Genesis, in the book of Genesis did we gain our self-worth and we lost our self-worth all at the same time. In the book of Genesis, he gave us self-worth. He counted us worthy. That gave us our self-worth. In fact, let's go there real quick just to show you. Now, as we know, that no sin is not, sin is not something that the Lord wants us to have in our life. Amen? Amen? We can all agree with that. Sin is something that stinks in the nostrils of God. Sin brings damnation on a person. Sin brings, sin and iniquity bring a lot of, I want to say, dissimulation to a person. Amen. But sanctification and righteousness brings a lot of great things to it. Amen. Sin can bring curses. Sanctification can bring blessings. Amen. The curse of the curse comes from the sin that was brought on man at the beginning. Man brought on sin. God didn't bring on sin. God actually brought us blessings at the very beginning. He counted us worthy at the very beginning. When he placed man in the Garden of Eden, he counted us worthy. He counted you worthy. Amen. But when man chose to go its own way, as we do today, we choose to want to do it our way. Frank Sinatra sang a song a long time ago, "I Did It My Way." But there is a way that seems, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Now, you might say, well, that scripture is talking about death. That scripture is talking about a natural death. No, it's not. It's talking about a spiritual death. It's talking about spiritual death. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. What am I saying? Our worth lies in righteousness. Our worth lies in sanctification. You won't be able, now I've said this before, anything in the natural has to have something spiritual connected to it. For real, seriously, no doubt. If we look in Genesis chapter number, if we look in Genesis chapter number 2, and I know I said verse number 8, but let's start at verse number 7, and this will show you. Anything natural, anything in the natural, as far as a human being is concerned, as far as a human being is concerned, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, Bishop Cook, every person that is living has spiritual connected to it. Let me show you. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. And then we're going to read verse number 8 and see where the self-worth came in at, okay, in verse number 8, okay? Let's read verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And it reads, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." You might say, well, how does verse number 7 tell me that that spiritually I'm connected spiritually, that the natural is connected to the spiritual? It just showed you. That man, when God breathed into the nostrils of man, when God breathed into the nostrils of man, man became a living what? Soul. That word soul is spiritual. Because your soul will never die. Now, the body might die, but the spirit man will never die. Your soul, and I've said this before, your soul has to spend eternity somewhere. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. When it comes to heaven or to hell. Amen. When it comes to heaven or to hell, our souls are going to spend eternity in either one or one place. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. And that is determined by you and I. If we have sin in our life, when we leave out of here, we will spend eternity in hell. Because sin can no longer be in heaven. When the devil got kicked out of heaven, when the devil thought that he was above God, that was a sin. That was a sin. That's why the devil was kicked out. There is no sin in heaven. There is no sin in heaven, but there's sin in hell. There's sin in hell. And you might say, well, what does this got to do with Mother's Day and all of this stuff? Got a lot to do with it. Because our self-worth comes from righteousness. Our self-worth comes from holiness. Our self-worth comes from the spiritual side of us. It comes from the Spirit of God. How do we gain our self? Look, let me show you something. I'm about to show you something. Go to Psalms verses 1 and 1. Let's go to Psalms 1 and 1. Watch this. I'm about to show you how worth kicks in the spirit. Psalms 1 and 1. Let's just read all of Psalms 1. Because I'm about to show you where he counted us worthy. Amen. When he counted us worthy, that brought on self-worth. Amen. But this is why we have self-worth. Amen. Psalms chapter 1. It reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Bow. Let's stop right there. The Bible says that you prosper as your soul prospers. Verse number 3 said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Now, if you know your self-worth, you'll be able to prosper. You prosper in your worth. When God counted us worthy, we were able to prosper. How were we able to prosper? Let's continue reading. In just those three verses in Psalms 1, it shows us at the end of this verse, he said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a man that is walking, this is a man or woman that is walking in their self-worth that God has given them. He has counted them worthy. Now, watch this. When Adam was created, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, let's go back, and I'm going to read that to you because I didn't get to read that to you. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Now let's read this. I said, the only way the Bible says you prosper as your what? Soul prosper. Amen. That's why I said anything that you do is connected to the spirit. You find your worth in the in God. Once you find your worth in God, you find your self-worth. Okay? Once he counted you, once you find your accountability in the work that God has given you, you have now found your worth. What is my worth? The worth is what God has for you to do, what God wants you to do, his ways. Because our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts toward us are yea and amen. His ways toward us, his thoughts toward us, what he wants for us is royalty. Amen. That's why he said we are a what? A royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Why would he call us royal if we weren't worthy? I want you to understand this. If God didn't count, do you not understand? Look, I want you to understand something. Your worth is more important to God than it is to you. Did you know that? Your worth is more important to God than it is to you. You might say, well, how is that? Because once you know your worth, you can do more for God. So him telling you that you are a royal priesthood, you're a chosen generation, you're the cream of the crop. He said, if you deny yourself and follow me, if you deny yourself and follow him, then you're able to claim the scripture, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his what? Unto his purpose. All things work together. Then we can also quote the other scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ that what? Strengtheneth me. Why? Because I now know where my worth comes from. It comes from God. Why? Because he counted me worthy at the beginning. If he didn't count me worthy, he wouldn't have said I was a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. He wouldn't have said all that. He wouldn't have counted me blessed in the Beatitudes. He wouldn't have said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If he didn't count me worthy. He counted me worthy from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry, y'all. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. Let's read that real quick. This is where he counted us worthy. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. He counted us worthy to be able to even sit in the Garden of Eden. He counted Adam worthy to even sit in the Garden of Eden. Now, you have to understand, why would he put him in the Garden of Eden? You might say, well, he says it right there, to dress it and keep it. He didn't just count him worthy to dress it and keep it. He counted him worthy because why? Adam was perfect at that time. There was no sin in the world. And that's the way our lives need to be. Why do you think Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Why? Because Peter, in the eyesight of God right then and there, he was where he needed to be. He was counted worthy. Now, Peter didn't actually know what God was talking about at that time. I will place my church upon thee. Peter, I'm counting you worthy to be able to preach Acts 2:38. You understand you got the full knowledge of what I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. That's why he said, upon this rock. What is the rock? My soul, my heart. I'm putting the word down inside of you to be able to preach unto the Jews and the Gentiles. I'm putting myself, I'm establishing myself. That's what we read in the first key verse. Amen. When he said he would establish himself. Amen. That he will sanctify this house. What is sanctifying this house? Us. He sanctified us. He counted us worthy. He counted us worthy. You are a single, look, I don't care who you are. If you are a single mother, a mother of a husband and children, if you are worthy. You are worthy enough to give birth unto your children. I don't care if you are a single father and the mother's off the scene. I don't know which way the mother's off the scene, but if you're a single father and you're trying to be a single parent, a single father, and you're trying to be the father and the mother in that household, I don't care. You are counted worthy today. I don't care if you're that child that feels like you are, that you have no mother, you have no father. You are counted worthy today. You are not a mistake. I don't care what you're going through. He counted us worthy. We were counted worthy in the beginning. Now, man lost the eyesight. Man lost the thought process of being counted worthy when they sinned in the garden. When Adam chose to listen to his wife and eat of the fruit that God told him not to eat of, because I'm not going to say it was an apple because the Bible doesn't say that. It said of the fruit. Amen. It just says of the fruit. But once man ate of that fruit, sin came into the world. And just like the enemy, just like the devil was kicked out of heaven, man was kicked out of the garden. And this is what the Lord gave to me. This is what the Lord gave me on insight of this situation compared to the devil. When the enemy chose to get the thought process of wanting to be above God, when the children of Israel wanted to serve other gods because they did not want to wait for God, they had the mindset of wanting to move before God, and the devil had the mindset of wanting to be above God. Man has a thought process of wanting to not want to wait. Man has a thought process because of sin, because it didn't start this way in the beginning. Because of sin, man has a thought process of not wanting to wait for God. And man has a thought process of wanting to be above God. They want to put their stuff above the things of God, just like the devil did. The devil wanted to put his own agenda above God, and the children of Israel wanted to move before God. Before God got them established, God will get them. Let me show you what the children of Israel do. Let me show you what they did. They would get established by God. They will start praising God in their establishment where God put them, and then they get disgruntled, and then they want to move above God. When God didn't move when they wanted him to move, then they want to serve other gods. Oh, well, this is not for me. This is not Moses. You got to think of something else because I'm not happy. I'm not this. I'm not that. That's the way we get, and that's why we lose our self-worth. But until we come into the full knowledge of the truth, we have to come into the full knowledge of the truth. We have to come in to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. And we have to do what God wants us to do. Amen. We have to establish ourselves in our worth and what God wants us to be like, so our lives can be a blessing.
not just unto ourselves, but unto other people. All right? We have to understand, we lost our worth when we chose to do it our way. We have a lot of people that are choosing it to do it their way because God's way is not like what they want. Oh, that, oh, God didn't say that. God didn't say, yes, he did. There are some people that have the thought process that they can live any kind of way, that they can do it any kind of way, that God is okay with anything, that God is. And preachers, there are some preachers that preach this mess. And I'm saying, I'm calling it what it is. It's mess. Yes, it is. It's mess. It's mess. When you're sitting up there telling somebody that they don't have to live holy. Well, guess what? When you're telling somebody that, woe unto you. And I didn't mean to go here. I meant this to be an encouraging thing today because it's Mother's Day. But God is taking this another way when it comes to the preachers. You should not want to step above what God has for you. Because number one, you don't know where you're stepping at. Number two, you might be stepping on ground that you don't need to be stepping on yet. It might be for you to step on that ground, but God ain't told you to step on that ground yet because you ain't ready for it. This is where we lose and gain our self-worth. We wondering why when we step above God and we mess up things, then we start wondering why, well, God, what is going on? What is going on? And then we start wondering, well, maybe I should do it this way. Maybe I should, no, maybe you should sit down and wait. The Bible says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, but wait, I say, on the Lord. We got a lot of people that are looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life in their careers. They're looking for life in their education. They're looking for life on their jobs. They're looking for life in their cars, their clothes, their homes, their money. They're looking for life in fame and fortune. But the Bible says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose what? His soul. You cannot have life. You can't even live an abundant life without the presence of God being in you, without the presence of God being with you. You can't do anything without God. God said, in me there is life. There is life in God. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why in him we live and we move and we have our being. We can find life in the word of God, in the knowledge of God, in the statutes of God. That's where our worth lies at. Amen. God established us to be worthy. And when sin came into the world, it departed us from our worth. It not only departed us from our salvation, it not only departed our relationship with God, but it also departed our worth. It departed us from our self-worth. Do you know your worth? This is deep. See, that's why I tell my Sunday school class all the time, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. You want to know more about life and how to live life? Read your Bible. And don't just read it. Read your Bible. Read it. Read it to get an understanding. Read it to get an establishment in God. Read it. The Bible is a life book. It can teach you about life. It can show you life. It can give life. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. So that your life might be more blessed. But you have to understand. You have to understand that life comes through the knowledge of God. Your worth comes through the knowledge of God. Amen. Your life comes through the knowledge of God. Amen. You have to understand, and we all have to understand as a body of believers, we all have to understand that our life and our self-worth comes through God himself, comes through the word of God, comes through the knowledge of God, comes through the work of God. It all comes through him. Amen. Now, watch this. We lost our self-worth, but Jesus recounted us worthy, if I could use that word, recounted. Jesus recounted us worthy when he gave his life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is that everlasting life? It's not just talking about eternal life. It's talking about having life here. It's talking about moving from life to life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. What is everlasting life? A lot of people think that everlasting life means eternal life only. No, that's not just talking about eternal life only. It's talking about having life in the natural and moving and transitioning into your spiritual life, going from life to life. He wants you to be so blessed with your life. He wants you to walk in your self-worth so much that you can transfer, that you can go from life to life. Now, your body might die. The body might die. Your soul don't. Your soul never dies. You go from life to life. But it is up to us to be counted worthy of the eternal life. How do we get counted worthy of our eternal life? He told us that we can gain, that we can get our worth back through Acts 2:38. Come on here. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's it. And you might say, well, is that only for me? No. If we read Acts 2:39, it says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. This goes beyond. That's why when you receive the gift that God has given us, that God has given out freely, then we can quote Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is that man that walketh in that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? That saved man, that sanctified man, that holy man, that righteous man. Hallelujah. That one that has the breastplate of righteousness, that has the helmet of salvation, that takes on the shield of faith, that has their feet shun with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that has, come on here. This is what we are talking about today. That's knowing your worth, not just letting anybody
in your circle. Not just having any type of friend, but having a godly friend, having sanctified friends, having everything about you righteous. That's why the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. Not everybody comes before, look, and I'm going to say this, this is just to show you in the natural what I'm talking about. Not everybody comes to England. Anybody that comes to the United Kingdom, not everybody goes before the Queen of England. Not everybody can come before the Queen of England. Why? Because she is of a royal nature. She is of a royal prestige. And that's the same way we should be with our word. Now, hold on. You might say, well, there are some saints that have their nose stuck up in the air like they proud and they better than everybody else, and that's what I don't like. That's why I don't like church. Let me tell you something. If they're doing that, then they're wrong. I'm going to say that now. If they're doing that, then they're wrong. If they're acting like they're better than somebody else, they're wrong. But if they are walking like they are blessed and living the life like they should be, not thinking that they're better than anybody else, but if they're humble, then yeah, then they're blessed. They should be walking that way. Amen. But I thank God. I thank God for everything that the Lord has given us. Amen. I thank God for everything that the Lord has allowed us to see through Him counting us worthy. There are some blessings that you are able to receive because God has counted you worthy. There are some, and look, just like the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal son was able to receive his inheritance from his father. Now, even though he received his inheritance before he should have, he still received an inheritance from his father. Amen. And just like the prodigal son, we receive an inheritance from the Lord once we take on his name. That's when we are able to say we're worthy. We're worthy. He counted us worthy of our self-worth. We couldn't even be counted worthy of our own self-worth without Jesus Christ. There are so many, like I said, there are so many people that are looking for life in all the wrong places because they don't know their worth. They don't know how to find their worth. I say this a lot. There is one very, 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 very funny person that I grew up watching on TV by the name of Robin Williams. Very, very funny actor. Very funny. Played in movies that I watched growing up. Amen. Used to watch him play in this movie named Mrs. Doubtfire. Very funny movie. Amen. Very funny. I used to laugh all the time watching that movie. It was like it was yesterday. And you would think that this man, because he made a lot of people laugh, that he was the most happiest man on the face of the earth. But guess what? He had an issue. He had issues. He didn't find his self-worth. And guess what? He took his own life. He fell into a state and a spirit of depression. Everything can look good on the outside, but on the inside. That's why the Bible said, that's why Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, because he was mentally ready. He was spiritually ready. Now, Did Peter know then what God was talking about? Probably not. Because Peter was the one that preached the message on the day of Pentecost. And I do believe, and this is my own personal opinion, I do believe when God said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I believe he was getting him ready to preach Acts 2 and 38. That's my own personal opinion. That's not scripture. But I do believe that that's one of the things that he was talking about, if not many. Amen. But we got to get ready. We got to get ourselves in alignment with being counted worthy. Amen. We got to follow Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. To regain our worth back. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Amen. God recounted us worthy. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read that to you real quick. He recounted us worthy. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I'm going to read that to you. Amen. Now watch this. Remember when I said his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways? His thoughts, when I said earlier, his thoughts are yea and amen towards us, really? That's what it was supposed to be at the very beginning? Well, watch this. This is his thoughts toward us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is us, he recounted us worthy. To give you an expected end, what is the expected end? That transition from life to life. He started us out having a blessed life. We messed it up. Man messed it up. It wasn't the devil. And a lot of people say, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do that. We need to stop blaming the devil for a little thing, because the devil ain't do every little thing. And as much as the devil hates us, and as much as the devil don't like us and everything, the devil didn't do some of this stuff. The devil didn't do some of this stuff we doing, and some of this stuff we need to come out of. The devil did not put us in that position. We put ourselves in that position, and now we all messed up. But we, as people, we have to understand that we have to get back in line with God to be able to be counted worthy to gain our self-worth again. There's a lot of mothers, and this is a word of encouragement to all the mothers out there, whether you single or not. You keep doing what you're doing, especially the single mothers. I know you've been through a lot. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been chastised. Maybe you've had children out of wedlock and everything and all of this stuff. Look. Let me tell you something. It was not a mistake. Now, that child that you have or children that you have are not mistakes. Because if God did not want them children here, he wouldn't allow you to have them. You take care of those children the best way that God allows you to. And you take those children and train them up in the admonition of the Lord and watch those children be blessed. Let me tell you something. And the reason why I can say single fathers too, I ain't just talking about single mothers, because before my dad became Pastor Tuggle, before my father became Minister Tuggle, before he became Pastor Tuggle, he was Minister Tuggle. Before he became Brother Tuggle, amen. Before he became husband of a wife and five children. He was a single father. And he raised who you listening to right now. And he raised me in the admonition of the Lord. And I thank God, and I say this as a testimony, because my mom and my dad, my biological mother and my dad, didn't stay together. But I will say this much. They didn't stay together. But I will say that they both raised me underneath the admonition of the Lord. They both made sure that they kept me in church. They made sure my dad shielded me as best he could as being a single father. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to read the Word of God. My father was the first person to ever teach me a scripture. It wasn't my Sunday school teacher. It was my father. And I still remember it at 34 years old. He taught me Psalms 100 was my first ever scripture that I ever knew. So if you, I give my kudos to the single mothers, but I also give my kudos to the single fathers out there too. Amen. My father raised up a sick child. And I mean, I was sick, y'all. I come from having open heart surgeries and blood clots near in my brain and having two strokes and all of this stuff medically happening to me, him having to get up and take care of me and being on a feeding tube and all of this stuff and him still going to work, taking care of me. And then after a while, the Lord blessed him to be able to be married again and taking on four more children. And if your parents are in the land of the living, I don't care if you have mother and father or what, I don't care. If you have parents in the land of the living, children, let me tell you something. I don't care if you're grown, middle-aged, I don't care. If your parents are still in the land of the living, you need to give them honor. I don't care. I don't care if they're the worst of the worst. I don't care if they're the best of the best. You need to give them honor. Love your mama and your father while they're yet in the land of the living. Parents, love your children while they're in the land of the living. Because we don't know. We don't know what's going to take place. I don't know what's going to happen. I tell my boys all the time I love them. Because I don't know. Lord forbid something happened to them. Lord forbid something happened to me. I don't know. But I want them to know that I love them. My wife tells my children all the time she loves them. Why? Because we never know. We don't know. And I'm not speaking nothing on nobody, but that's knowing your worth. That helps the children know their worth. Do you not know? And this is a side note. This is a side note for everybody. Do you not know your children will know their worth by you telling them that you love them? They won't have to go to the street. They won't have to go to that little girl won't have to go to that man that's abusing them to try to get love out of them. If you tell them every day that you love them, I tell my boys all the time I love them. Before I leave for work, before I go here, I go there, I tell my wife I love her. Why? Because it's my job. Now, I don't have any daughters. I don't have any daughters. I don't have any biological, no step, no none of that. My nieces are my daughters. All of my nieces. I got a lot of them. Amen. I love my nieces. And I tell my nieces every time I see them, I love you. And all of my nieces have their fathers in their life. Still, as an uncle, it is my job as their uncle to tell them I love them. Amen. We have to tell our young people that we love them. We have to tell our parents that we love them. Why? Because It is our job. It is our job as children. It is our job as parents to tell each other we love each other. It is my job as a husband to tell my wife I love her. That is giving her her worth. That is letting her know. That is letting my wife know that I honor her. That is letting me. That is letting her know my her self-worth to our marriage. This doesn't just count in the spirit. This doesn't just count for you, but this counts in every area of your life. Amen? Do you know your worth? You may not know your worth as a wife. You may not know your worth as a husband because you may not know your worth as a child because nobody tells you I love you or nobody tells you I care for you or anything like that. But today, I'm telling you, and if you are listening to me right now, I love you. I love you. Jesus loves, and above all, Jesus loves you more. He loved you enough that he gave his life for you. And if you were the only one on the face of this earth, he would have done it just for you. He said he'll be a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. Amen. And I know him to be. He said he'll be a bridge over troubled water. We read the scripture. Amen. That our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Every stripe that he took, every beating that he took it for your peace. For your peace of mind, for your self-worth. He took it all for you. He took it all for me. Do you know your worth today? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Some people, that's why people walk down a deadly road, not knowing who they are, not knowing their self-worth. That's why people get addicted to drugs and to alcohol and all of this other stuff, all of this other mess that they could just be involved in. That's why young men get involved and young women get involved in gangs. Because they don't know their self-worth. They don't know that they've been counted worthy already. They don't know that they're of a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. And I'm here talking to the men today. I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but I'm talking to the men today too. Take your boys, these young men, take these young men and be with these young men. Last weekend, last Sunday, I took my boys out last Sunday. Last week I went to my parents' house over the weekday of last week, and the Lord said, "Stop by your parents' house." And you know, I was going there to talk to them about the church service and for Sunday. And I was there to do some other things, and the Lord said, because my two older nephews were there, and the Lord said, tell them to get up and get dressed and take them out to lunch. I'm like, Lord, what? Are you sure? Yeah, take them out to lunch. Go spend time with them. Because my kids were at school. And so what I did was I told my two oldest nephews. Now, my oldest nephew was 20. My second oldest nephew is 19 years old. I told him to get up, get dressed. I'm gonna take him to lunch, and they went out with me. And right when I was getting ready to walk out the door with them, the Lord said, "Get your pastor and take him too." And I'm like, okay. So I asked my dad to come with me, and my dad, and my nephews. We all went out to lunch, just to spend time with them. Just to spend time with all four of us together. And we had a good time. And I thought it was over after that. Amen. That Sunday, last Sunday, my wife came up with the idea. She said, "Let's go spend time with the boys after church." So I said, "Okay, all right, we'll go spend time with the boys after church." And Lord, I don't know how my nephew Noah, my brother, one of my brother's children, got into the picture. He somehow talked my kids into asking me to go with us. And how, you know, I found myself saying, yeah, you can come, nephew, come on. And they went with us. He spent time with us on last Sunday. And he even asked to come over this weekend. I said, okay, yeah, you can come on over this weekend too. Why? It's not because, and I didn't do that because they fathers weren't, they, you know, my brother wasn't there. My brother's there. My brother's a great father. My brother Marquise, he's a great father. I mean, great father. Better father than I'll ever be. Amen. Amen. My father is the best father that we ever had. I can never fulfill my father's shoes. Amen. I can never fulfill my brother and my oldest brother's shoes. My oldest brother, Wesley, he's a great father. Amen. My sister, great mother, can never fulfill their shoes. But I thank God for them. And I thank God for allowing my brother, for allowing me to spend time with my nephew. Because, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village. I still believe it takes a village to raise a child to this day. And how, you know, sometimes when my brother comes over to my house, he'll check on my kids and he'll spend time with my children. And I let him too. I let my sister and my brother spend time with my boys because I want them to know their uncles. I want them to know their auntie. Amen. I let my father and my mother spend time with their grandchildren. Why? Because it takes a village. I can't just cradle them all the time. Amen. There's some things that some my brother might be able to teach them that I can't teach them because I'm their parent. They look at me as like, Daddy, wait a minute, hold up. I can learn it better from Uncle Marquis. Okay. All right. But that's knowing your worth. Getting closer to your worth. Getting closer to the worth, the worthy that God has for you in your life. I thank God for being counted worthy. He counted us worthy at the very beginning, even though we lost our worth. For allowing sin to come in, but God recounted us worthy. And we can gain that worthiness back today. Amen. I hope that this has blessed you in some way on today. I pray that this has blessed you in some way on today. I thank God for Bishop Cook allowing us to come one more Saturday to teach the word of God, because this is nothing, this is life. And we got to learn how to live life. The Bible says, occupy until he comes. And I know that we're waiting on that blessed day that the rapture is going to take place, that our God is going to call us home, and we don't have to live in this world anymore. But until then, we got to occupy. And this is the way we occupy until he comes. Amen. We as a people have to know that we are counted worthy. We have to know where our worth lies at. It does not lie in man. It doesn't lie in women. It doesn't lie in the things of this world. But it lies in God. And when God takes control of your life, then you'll be able to know your self-worth, your true self-worth, and what God has for you. Amen. I pray that you know your worth today and that you know who you are today and you know whose you are, because you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. If you weren't, God wouldn't have told you it would be so, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Amen. He would never lie to you. He is one father that would never lie to you. Amen. I praise God. I praise God for each and every one of you. Amen. I want to say again, happy, happy, happy Mother's Day to each and every single mother in the world. I don't care if you're a single mother. I don't care if you're a mother that's married with your husband and your children. Happy Mother's Day. And again, I want to say, and I also want to say happy Mother's Day to my sister and my sister-in-laws. Amen. I got two sister-in-laws. Amen. One on my family side and one on my wife's side. Amen. My sister-in-law on my wife's side. Happy Mother's Day to you. Amen. And happy Mother's Day to my sister, Melissa Barber. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you, Courtney. Amen. That's my sister-in-law, y'all, and I love her in Jesus' name. She is a great mother, and so is my sister, and so is my other sister-in-law. They are great mothers. Amen. In Jesus' name. And again, happy Mother's Day to each and every person. Happy Mother's Day to both of my mothers. In Jesus' name, you are a blessing in my life. Happy Mother's Day to my very own wife. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. And until next Saturday, you all go ahead and be blessed, y'all, and have a very, very blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and in this case, since we're on radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. This is the Spirit Alive Network. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show. God bless you in Jesus' name. I will see you next Saturday in Jesus' name, should the Lord tarry, in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. I love you.